Good evening, those of you that are with us, and Lord, we pray that we get our things straightened out here again. I've been after a week off and being with the
a little disorganized.
Yeah, a little more than that. I got a nephew that he shows up every once in a while, wants to do something, and he won't take any money for it. He wants to do it free, and you can't hardly tell him no. And so I had a ramp on the house that was built a long time ago when we didn't realize my wife was as bad as she was with her problems. And it had deteriorated to a point to work. And of course, she's been gone now for nine years and a month now. And so we were still using the ramp to go up and down on the porch with. I burned wood in the wintertime. And I've got a two-wheel wheelbar, and I've got a round hoop in one end of my porch that I bring wood up on that ramp and fill up my hoop. And my hoop usually lasts about 2 days. It's according to the temperature outside as to how much wood I burn.
You use a lot less wood in July than you. Then you do it.
I haven't burned any lately. Now let's put it that way. But nevertheless, I wanted to keep a ramp. And my walking is not very good either. So, and so he come by yesterday and I'd been to get groceries. My car was backed up to that old ramp. My tailgate was up on my Ford Explorer, and he didn't see me nowhere, and the front door was open, so he stopped by and invited himself in to see what was wrong with me. And he got to looking at my ramp, and he said, well, I've been working with some guys, and we just got done working on some veterans' houses. That, I guess the Veterans Administration was paying for it or whoever it was. And he said, I'm loose for a little while. I said, let's just fix you a ramp. And he's a hard dude to make see anything, but once he sees into it, you know, then he gets kind of gung ho. But make a long story short, I've been ramp working today, so I didn't have a chance to get in and get my stuff straightened out like I wanted to. So here we are. I want to go back to John chapter 12, and I wanted to look at I wanted to start with verse 12 because we talk somewhat about it a study ago, which has been a couple of 3 weeks now, seems like to me. But John 12 through John 19 is a group of verses that need to be looked at kind of together. And so last time we had a study, we started off, and I kind of wanted to do the Paul Harvey thing and give you the rest of the story tonight. But I want to go back and read what we had already read and maybe talk about it just a little bit. And then we'll pick up with we didn't get through verse 19. So I want to go back to 12. And it said, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, and they were going to the feast of Pentecost, where they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, this was about 4 days before, if I remember right, this was about 4 or 5 days before Pentecost was to be had. And I can't remember whether there was anything real important that I had put in the notes. And I'm not on the right page in my notes either. So. Boy, I am really messed up. In dealing with my nephew is like trying to deal with a bunch of lawyers. And I can say that because I was a magistrate for a while. And when you get something started with a bunch of lawyers and they don't agree with you, then they want to change it to something else in a hurry. And so sometimes he reminds me of the days when I was a magistrate for 8 years. So, and he said, yeah, on the next day, or the fourth day before the Passover, of the 11th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset, the Sunday sunset, it said, much people, or a great crowd, that were come for the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and also they knew that Lazarus would be there. And this is noted in Mark 11, Luke 14, and John 12:12. That's where we're reading this today. And it said this event extends from verse 12 through verse 19. And it also mentions that he sends disciples for a colt or an animal in Act 1:53. And so I finally made it to Act 1:53. And Act 1, but I've really got Act 1:56. So I'm having to back up just a little bit as I go along here because it's been hard to remember what was happening with all that was going on. So yeah, 1:53. And this is the two entries into Jerusalem you have in Act 1:53. 1:53. At 1:53:4 says this, in the former, it talks about this is where they had been sent to get animals that Christ was going to ride in on a colt ass. Well, actually, it is a male donkey that he's going to ride in on. And when you, it says in Matthew, the Lord had actually arrived at Bethpage. In Luke, it says he was come nigh. And in Mark, it says that they were approaching. In Matthew, the village lay just off the road. In a Penninatic, and in Luke and Mark, it says it was before them opposite in Calanatic. And in the former, it says two animals were sent for and used. In the latter, it was used with only one animal. And so this is the one animal that we're dealing with here in this, and it said, and in the former the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which required the two animals, he said, to have been fulfilled. And of course, Zechariah's the next to the last book of the Old Testament. And Zechariah, and then I believe the other one was Malachi. And those two people that were designated as prophets, Zechariah prophesied in his deal that they wouldn't be none for a long time. Actually, in chapter 13 of Zechariah, he cut that off. We talked about that a little bit too also. And it said the prophecy is said to have been fulfilled. So in Zechariah, when Christ was born and lived to the age of 30 and started his ministry, and his ministry was 3 years, so he was 33 years old. But it was prophesied by Zechariah that from the time between 407 B.C. and 403 B.C. was when that prophecy was given, and that he said that there wouldn't be another prophet till one come that had nail prints in his hand. And so that wound up to be 400 and at least 429 to 430 years. Okay. And so Malachi, I'm not sure that he got a whole lot in writ in his part of this, because I have never did very much with Malachi, but Zechariah, yes. And so when Christ came and he came and did his work, well, in finishing up his work, sometime or other there in that, well, he fulfilled the thing with the two animals at that point. And so now what we have left in Appendix 156 is Mark, Luke, and John mentions this in their three parts of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John thing for what they foretold and what they were telling in their things with finishing up the situation there. So that's the reason the fulfilled had been done, because Christ had been there and he had grown up and he had taken on his ministry, because he had to wait till he was 30 years old because he wasn't married, and anything he said, they could hold it against Mary and Joseph according to their law. And so Jesus waited till he was 30 years of age before he started his ministry. And so, and of course his resurrection was the latter part of that ministry, because he soon went back to the Father in heaven, and we haven't heard from him since. But we have heard from the Holy Spirit, or how the Holy Spirit is working through, because of what he did for us, we could not do for ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit now takes leave of a dead person, and they thought that the dead person, when he died, that the spirit would leave the dead person, a believer, and that that spirit would roam around that area for 3 days looking for a way to get some way to get that person alive again, But Christ waited 4 days before he went there to Lazarus. And so that had been fulfilled that way in that sense. And it said, and the latter, the prophecy was not said to be fulfilled, and only so much of it is quoted in John 12:15, as we will agree with. So that's the reason I went back to, wanted to go over that again, because yes, this little nippet that you got in appendage 153 goes back toward the end of 156 appendage, because this is the fifth, fourth, and third days right down to they were going to crucify Christ. Okay. So, we went through 12:12, and it says in 13, on the next day, much people, I've already read that. 13. Let me go back to 12 again. On the next day, much people were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so, I'm even having trouble turning pages tonight. And we'll read 14 and 15, because it mentions that already. And it says in 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. And so as he was coming into Jerusalem, they cut palm trees and what they call strawed the ground. They covered the ground with palm trees like you would, if you was planting a new yard or something, that you would cover whatever is the sod or whatever you put down to protect it. But they realized that Jesus was the one that created the earth for the Father, which he was known then probably as Jehovah. And so he didn't have to watch for the animal. I guess somebody else was leading the animal, I would think, on his part. And so he said on it as it was written in 15, says, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's coat. Well, it was a young jackass that he was sitting on. And so this was the reason these two things were kind of put together. Because one of them, Zechariah prophesied it, and then Zechariah's was fulfilled when Christ was born and done his ministry, but now it's getting to the end of that ministry, so that's been fulfilled. So this one's just only got one animal in it now, and that's the reason it was there in verse 15, it's pretty clear. It says, Fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass coat. In my understanding, it was a donkey. What we would call a donkey, male donkey, was what it was. And so I had some notes that were written there that are in the Companion Bible, I think. or maybe in somewhere in the appendices, that I wanted to do this, but I wanted to go back and to look at about where they talked about these things. And I wanted to look at the fourth day before the Passover, which is Saturday sunset, Sunday sunset, which we've talked about in verse 12. And it mentions three speakers that wrote the Gospels of the same thing. Now, if you will, turn with me back to the book of Mark, and we'll start there. And that's where I lost my notes. I already had this down, but let's go to Luke chapter 11. I mean, Mark 11, I'm sorry. And so I'm all still all wound up about doing this work around the house on the day that I'm supposed to be doing some study on too, even after I've got my notes. I like to go back over it, and I didn't have 1 minute time to do this. And then when I did find it, I found out that 11:1, Mark. Okay. I want to read Mark 11:1 through 11:11 because there's three different things dealing with this on this fourth day here. The triumph entry into Jerusalem and Mark weeps over the city of Jerusalem. And also, in 11:11, he says, he enters the temple, looks around, and returns to Bethany. This is what Mark was dealing with. Mark 1 through 11, it said, when they came down to Jerusalem, and to Bethpage and to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, full stop, and as soon as you enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place when two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loose the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now let's go on to verse 11. Blessed be the kingdom of our Father, David that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and looked around and into the temple. And when he had looked about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. Let's see. Now it said 11 and 11 was as far as Mark went with that. But it goes on to verse 19. Okay. The rest of it was on the other page. I knew that this wasn't all I had on there. Verse 12 says this, and on the morrow when they come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man can eat fruit of the thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, full stop. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrines. And when the evening was come, he went out of the city. He left there. Now this was Mark's account of what happened there. Now let's go back and look at Luke's account. Okay. The fourth day of the 19th chapter of Luke. Go with me to Luke 19. Let's see, we're going to go to 19 and we're going to start at verse 29. 19. It must have been the other one, Ronnie. My leaves here are still kind of...
They're kind of new, yeah.
Stick together.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go back one page if I can. The 19, what did I say? 29 through 35, but we're going to read from 19:29 to... Luke 1948 to 1948, which is the end of the chapter. Okay. 1929, and this is supposedly the same thing that was seen by all, but here, let's see if we see anything different here. And it came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethpage in Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, and in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man set. Loose him and bring him thither. So this colt was a young colt. It had never been ridden by nobody. And so evidently it didn't raise a fuss with the Son of God, because it was there just for that reason. Okay? And it said in verse 31, and if any man ask you, what are you loosing? Thus ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that sent their way and found even as he had said unto them. And they that were loose, and as they were loosening the colt, the owner therefore said unto them, now this was the owner's of the colt, said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord had need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, which was going down, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty work that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
That's pretty good. That's like when he told them, you know, God's able to raise up children of Israel out of these stones.
Absolutely. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now, it just says in Luke that he wept. It didn't say in Mark that Mark wept, but it was still in that list of things. So that was one thing that I saw. Say, if thou hast known even then, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto the peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench around thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and that them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, and ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find out what they might do, for the people were very attentive to hear him. So this was Luke's rendition of the same thing that Mark had given to us. So you see, there's little differences in these things, because these men are looking at things a little differently, like me and you would look. One of us would look at one thing and see something that was dear to us.
Yeah, but you can see in Luke's account here more than Mark's. You can see Christ as the perfect man, which is the way Luke
Absolutely.
Which is the way Luke put him forth.
Okay, I've come to the point now where I won't turn back to John 12. Go back with me to John 12. It's in here, marked out somewhere on the next page. Okay. So John, and we've already read down through. We could start at John 12, but we need to go to John 19. 12:19. We've already went through John 15, and on the other page it says 12:20 through 50. So that's a carry on. But let's just, for the sake of tonight, read down through John 12:15. Go back to 15. And we'll go down and read at least down through 19 while we're here. And it said, I read 14 again. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. And 15 says, fear not, daughters of Zion, because thy king cometh sitting on an ass coat. And I think I read the note in that. There wasn't very much of a note here, but there were other notes in other places. Sitting on a donkey. But 16 kind of gets a little long in the tongue a little bit. And so let's go ahead and read verse 16. And this is basically where I wanted to pick us up and get down through verse 19. Because as I said, this is basically what Paul Harvey would have said. This is the rest of the story of this particular aspect of the story on the fourth day from before he was crucified. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things, and that they had done these things unto him. So the things that were written were the things that Jesus had to put up with going through these days here before his death. And there's quite a lot of that. But we're just looking at this one verse here right now. These things understood, and that word understood in the Greek is perceived. And also in the Greek, it is the word gnosko. They understood. They didn't perceive. They didn't understand his disciples. Not his disciples at the first. His disciples didn't see it.
They literally didn't have a full understanding of what was, why it was being done.
They were trying to, but they
but when he was glorified.
It was one of them things, but when he was glorified.
They go, oh, now I know.
That changed things a little bit. Okay. So it says here, full stop. But when Jesus was glorified, doxazo, and this is a special order of emphasis with greater authority to which the Lord spake as God, and is coming with double authority and importance. And it says, then remove they their things. They remembered the things, these things which were written or had been written of him, Christ, and that they had done that these people that were after him had done these things to him. So when Christ was glorified, things changed a lot. And these disciples' eyes were now opened, if you will.
That's the key, is once their eyes were opened and they remembered the scripture, then they got it.
It was written down. They had read it. They had understood that these things would happen. And so it had been written by these scribes and these prophets in other places like Zechariah and some of the others. They'd done all this dealing and had written these things down by the will of God, because it was God's will that these things were here, or we wouldn't have them. They'd still be hid somewhere. But this was an eye-opener to them. And, boy, when they got it, they said, oh, yeah, we've read about this. We know. Now we know. Lord, we know what you've been through, a lot of what you've been through, because we've read about it. That's the way it was going to be.
Amen.
And so we get to verse 17. And 17 says, the people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. So the two groups that come down there to the area, to the temple area, they were down there to get their lambs and let the priests do what they do to the lambs, and they were getting ready to kill the lambs so they could put the stuff on the doorpost and the lintels. But the true Lamb of God is right there with them. Because when all this is done, He will be the sacrificial lamb. He is not yet, but he's getting there. And it said the people, or the crowd, therefore, was there for a purpose. Because therefore gives you an understanding that there's some of the rest of the story that hasn't been told yet. Or, because of these things, it's now being told, okay? They was with Jesus, him, when he called Lazarus, out of his grave. And Lazarus, came out, or passed through the doorway of his grave. And they all understood that he had been there 4 days. And he raised him from the dead. The word dia, meaning went through, and it was an neck anastasis. And they bear record of that. And guess what? And they were testifying this fact. They had seen, They had witnessed, they had beheld, they see him come out of the grave, and Jesus said, Jesus said, take off the napkin, take off the ties, turn him loose, and stand him up.
Amen.
And he was stood up into life again. Somebody that had been dead 4 days, their law said 3 days, and if it goes any further than that, you know he's dead. And so they had no defense of this fact, because evidently there was probably hundreds of people that wound up there at the grave because they knew something was going on. And Jesus said, well, let's go get Lazarus. And so they had to see that. If I'd have been there, I'd have had to went and seen it.
Yeah, me too.
And that's for sure. Whether I believe God or not, I would have had to, at least had to take the chance to see that. So let's go to 18, 19, about getting close to being out of time again. Uh, 17 said, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle.
He was the literal local rock star of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Everywhere he went, they knew who he was. They knew what he had done.
And the crowd was coming in, coming there for Pentecost, and the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Every day until they had to do it on a certain time, on a certain day, because it was called Preparation Day. In preparation for the Passover, where they had to make sure that the marks were on the doors and lintels and all this stuff. And so they had to put Jesus kind of in a hurriedly way in the ground. And it says, for this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him.
We ain't getting nowhere, but look at him.
Yeah. He said, we can't hold a handle. We can't hold a can of light for him as to who he is and what he can do.
Well, at least they would admit it among themselves.
Yeah, they truly done that. And so that was basically the rest of it. It said the Pharisees, therefore, because of all this stuff that we've been reading about here tonight, said among themselves, this coming to all, even to this group. And that's saying a lot. This came to all, even to this group, the Pharisees they're talking about.
Yeah.
It says, perceive ye how ye prevail or profit nothing. Behold, Astromos. Look now. The cosmos is gone after him. And if you want to read that and about that, you can turn back to App 129-1 there, and And that gives you a little more effect because, you know, this stuff has been written. It's taken place, or taking place, and it's been done, and they just go so far in the story, and then they have to go to another part of the story because this is how the story goes until they crucify, get him down, out from the grave, and he's with them there for the 40 days. And he goes down and goes back into heaven. We haven't heard from him since. But the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit tells us and guides us toward the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit can lead, guide, and direct you from that time of belief until you breathe your last breath. When my wife turned loose of my hand and I was holding on one side of her bed, I looked away from her and I looked toward that door. I kind of expected to see that door open. Be honest with you. But it didn't have to open for the Spirit and what the Spirit had of my wife.
Amen.
Because I knew what she believed. And I didn't have any problem with that. And she never had any problem with it. And she tried to make sure that I had what I needed when she was with me and we would have prayer before we went to sleep. And I heard what she told the Spirit, that the Spirit in turn told the Son of God, which now after he went there and come forth out of the grave, he had done what he had done for mankind. And at that time that me and my wife was looking at these kind of things, I still was not a believer.
You know, when you read this, and it says that a lot of the people that were there when he raised Lazarus were there. Yeah. They were in the same crowd.
Yeah.
Right before he raised Lazarus, remember he prayed, Father, this ain't for me, but it's for those that, you know, that may see this miracle, and I'm paraphrasing, but this whole thing is taking place so that they may know the power of God.
Yeah.
Well, he prayed to the Father. If they would have had half a brain, they would have understood by listening to his prayer that it wasn't. I mean, God worked through Christ to do it, but it was mainly the power of the Father to raise the dead.
Yeah, because I think,
I don't know why they couldn't understand
that. The ending of part of that prayer, if he prayed it in the Greek, he might have done it in the Hebrew, but in the Greek, it would have probably been Omei, because he was asking God that what they agreed upon would be fulfilled in this event.
Yeah. Right. But he said, I only do the will of the Father.
Yeah.
And he prayed to the Father before he did it. I guess my point is, you would think that these same people, if they knew that he had raised Lazarus through the Father, that surely the Father would raise him at the proper time.
Yeah.
I don't understand the thought process of these.
Well, they were so deep. Satan had them so deep under this pile of crap that he has.
Yeah.
And I will agree with Alan Naz about that, because anything that God and his Son was willing to do together, you know that Satan was against
it. Trying to cover it up,
And he is trying to.
Yeah, I'm just saying, after what they heard and what they witnessed, how can they think that God won't raise him?
Well,
it's crazy to me.
Let me say this. They're just balls of dust.
Yeah. Like people today. No different.
They're balls of dust. If you don't have God or His Son, you're a dead man.
Yeah.
And you've been dead ever since you come from your mother's womb. You might have had life, human life, but the godly life is what God's looking for.
Yeah.
As you being without, without sin, because he can't participate in a sinful situation. Because even when Jesus was speaking to these people and he say, I and the Father are one. And no, you ain't. We know you're the carpenter's son and Mary's.
And that was the whole problem. They never would acknowledge, even though he could do all these amazing things, they never would really give him credit. Well, some would, but for the most part they didn't.
Basically because they didn't believe in resurrection. They did not have the understanding that God gave to Nicodemus.
Yeah.
When he asked
being born again. Yeah.
He said, you gotta be born again. Mm-hmm. And he just never, and these people would just get out here and live their own life and all, they never think a minute about what God's done for them that day or what he's going to do for them tomorrow or what he might do for them tomorrow or any of this sort. They go and flush your toilet and they flush your stuff down through a pipe and it goes into the ground and it comes out down the road somewhere down there, renewed again. And the other guy can use that water again. And he wouldn't have never thought about doing things like that. But all this stuff that's here that God has given to mankind as a gift with the promise of one that was to come and take their sins away.
Yeah.
And these gifts keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and nobody ever, not very many people ever says, God, I thank you for all this you've done for me.
Yeah. Amen.
And so until the Spirit gets you to a point of understanding that you need him, you really need him, and keeps on going about you, you really need him and everything, and all your thoughts get involved in situations that, well, this is what he's done for you, or this is what he's about to do for you, or he can do for you, then you say, well, wait a minute.
No.
Man under a tree, man up a tree, man on a tree.
Amen.
I'm done.